Psachim Paragimel Mishnah Vav. Arbasar Shechalios Bashabbos. So let's say the 14th of Pesach, Erev Pesach, fell out on Shabbos. Mivar Mesakol Milfnea Shabbos Diver Meir. Meir is of the opinion that one has to remove and destroy all of his chametz before Shabbos. The simple understanding is that Meir holds, like Rabbi Yehuda holds, that the only way to destroy one's chametz is to burn it. And one cannot burn one's chametz on Shabbos, as it would violate a prohibition of Isser Malacha on Shabbos. The Chachamim Omer and the Chachamim say, no, Bizmanon, you can actually do it in its appropriate time on Erev Pesach, on the 14th, despite the fact that it is Shabbos. Presumably, the Chachamim hold that one has more options to remove and dispose of one's chametz, like the Chachamim hold against Rabbi Yehuda earlier in the Masechta. And therefore, since they have more options, they are less limited by the restrictions of Shabbos, and will find ways that are permissive. They will find ways to burn the chametz, or remove the chametz. Excuse me, to remove the chametz and dispose of the chametz that are permissible on Shabbos. Elazar bar Tzadok omer truma milfnei haShabbos v'chulin bezman. Elazar bar Tzadok, he says that the chametz which is truma, one has to dispose, remove, destroy that chametz before Shabbos, but chulin, unconsecrated chametz, can actually be saved and kept even until the 14th Erev Pesach on Shabbos, and then in its appropriate time, one can then dispose of it at that time. The idea that Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok distinguishes between Truma and Chulin could be based on the following. That even though Rameyer holds that one could only, if we call Rameyer holds that one has to remove all one's chametz before Pesach, one could have said that although one is restricted in how one can destroy the chametz on Shabbos, I'm going to, in general, on the Erev Pesach, I'm going to remember with only by burning. One cannot do that on Shabbos. So one could have, might have said that, well, there is one other way that it would be fine. That would be to eat the Pesach, to eat the chametz on Erev Pesach. When one is still allowed to eat chametz. So Rameyer obviously felt that we cannot rely on this, that just we can't assume and presume that we will be able to get rid of all the chametz beforehand by eating it either by ourselves or by our animals. So therefore Rameyer held, he has to get rid of it before chametz. But comes along Elazar bar Tzadok and says, you know, that's true when it comes to truma, because truma can only be really eaten and consumed by kohanim and their animals. So therefore we can never rely on the fact that on Pesach, on Shabbos in the morning, we could get rid of it and dispose of it by eating it. Therefore that has to be destroyed beforehand, because we can't burn it on this Erev Pesach because it is Shabbos. But chulin, because chulin can be eaten by not only by obviously kohanim but by all people, and therefore chulin could be eaten by anyone, even Yisrael and their animals. So therefore, we could rely and assume that chametz will actually be eaten up in the appropriate time on Erev Pesach, despite the fact that it is Shabbos. Paragimel Mishnah Zayin, haholeich lishchot es pischo. One who's on their way to Shechter Pesach, it's Erev Pesach, it's the 14th of Nisan, to Shechter Pesach, to bring that sacrifice, v'lamul es bina, or to circumcise one's son, v'l'echol sudas erusin beis cham, or one is going to celebrate his betrothal at the house of his father-in-law. All these things are associated or are mitzvahs themselves, or with or mitzvahs themselves. V'nisko sheish lo chametz b'sof beis, and then he remembers it's Erev Pesach, and he still has chametz in his house. So im yachol lachzor l'va'er v'lachzor l'mitzvah, so yachzor v'yivar. So if he could actually do both, right, because now we have a clash almost of values. On the one hand, he wants to circumcise his son, fulfill that mitzvah, or shech the korban Pesach. On the other hand, he has the mitzvah to destroy his chametz, and not to avoid being over in the prohibition of Bal Yirah by Matzev, owning chametz on Pesach. So we have a clash of values. So if he could reconcile the two and actually accomplish both, go back and destroy your chametz, remove your chametz, and then return to the mitzvah to go to fulfill the mitzvah that you were originally engaged in. So great, do both. Yachzor, return, vivar, destroy your chametz, and then come back and fulfill that mitzvah. Vimlav, however, if it's impossible to accomplish both, and that clash of values still exists, so therefore, mivatlo belibo, one can at least get rid of the one's chametz to avoid Bal Yirah by Matzeh with the mechanism of bittul, which midaraisa min haTorah, that accomplishes that. Either according to Tosos, you are mafkir the chametz, you render it ownerless, or according to Rashi, you actually perceive the chametz, you consider the chametz as if it's an afar ba'amav, it's just mere dust and dirt, rendering it completely insignificant. So by doing that, one min haTorah has fulfilled one's obligations. One's obligation, one will not be over on Balei Matzah min haTorah. It's true, midrabanan, we still require that one not leave chametz in one's house, chametz extant in one's house, and get rid of it. But that's only midrabanan. So the rabbi said, since in this case there's a clash here, where one is on his way to fulfill a mitzvah or to do something that is associated with a mitzvah, like the betrothal feast. So therefore, it's enough just to fulfill one's derais obligation of doing bittul, and one could go on and do the mitzvah that he's engaged in. If a person is going to save Jews who are being harassed by Gentile troops, or those who are drowning in a river, or from bandits, or from a fire, or from something that a building that collapsed, so then a person does not have to make this cheshbon whatsoever, this calculation, can I go back and do both? Because since, you know, loss of life is at stake here, one should only do bitter belibo quickly. One should, you know, again, render it ownerless or perceive it and consider it as just completely meaningless dust and insignificant. And then be assured, and then, of course, be involved in trying to save these people. The lishbos shvitas harashus yachsum miyad. However, these things, originally we were talking about things that have to do with mitzvahs. But let's say a person is only involved in something that is optional. So, for example, one cannot go past 2,000 because of Isser Tchum. So on Shabbos, one is prohibited from going beyond 2,000 amos from his place of residence. So if one wants to extend that 2,000 amos, what he does before Shabbos is he goes to a location and brings some food there, and he establishes that being his new place of residence, and then he could go 2,000 amos in either direction from that place. So since the Mishnah is assuming that he's doing this just for optional reasons, not for any mitzvah associations whatsoever, any intentions to perform, to help him facilitate performing a mitzvah, it's really just for optional, so that he could just be, you know, walk around and travel. I'm going on a pleasure walk, let's say on Shabbos. So therefore, on Shabbos Yom Tov, so therefore he establishes this place of residence. And this is optional, and then he remembered that he had not destroyed his chametz yet. So then the chametz actually required him to go back miyad right away and to do bittul, and also to, of course, completely dispose of his chametz as well. That rabbinic, you know, restriction, that rabbinic demand to destroy and remove one's chametz completely, not to leave any of it extant, is not pushed off by this person's optional, this desire to, this optional endeavor that he wants to do to extend his 2,000 amos, which will enable him to walk more on Shabbos.